Today, a spotlight on Byron Bay. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, World's Latest Post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. Today, I'm going to look at property in Byron Bay. Over the last few weeks, I've been featuring a number of different areas under our Spotlight series, and I asked our audience whether there were particular postcodes they'd like me to look at. Well, Byron Bay was right at the top of the list, followed by some areas of Perth, and other areas of Queensland, as well as Melbourne and Sydney. So we'll cover a few other areas later, but today it's Byron Bay. And I should just make the point, as I always do in these shows, that this information is based on our current available information. It may change. This is not financial advice. It should be not taken as financial advice. We're merely looking at the data from our surveys, our economic modelling, and all our other sources. And this information is for your personal use only, and it will change ahead. Now, that said, we continue to use our core market model, which is our main analytic tool, and we pull information in from a number of sources, including our rolling household surveys, other external data, and even things like JobKeeper and JobSeeker. And this gives us a robust underlying model, which allows us to look at what's going across the economy at the moment. And specifically, it allows us to look at mortgage stress, the price trajectory, the history, the buying and selling intentions, the migration data, as well as broader economic information. And that also allows us then to flow it through our core market model and the various scenarios that we run with to then form a view as to what may happen with regard to home prices ahead. And so today we're looking at Byron Bay. Up in northern New South Wales, of course, Cape Byron is the most easterly point on the mainland, and it has a very famous lighthouse, some amazing walks around the headland, and the whole area is actually rather sublime in my view, and the local commercial centre has also developed quite recently. Now, if we look at what is for sale at the moment, in fact, around 29 properties are currently for sale, and that includes houses and units. And here are just a few examples. One of the obvious points to make is that prices are rather vague. In the first example there, somewhere between 3.2 and 3.5 million, or contact the agent for information, or a price guide of 2.4 to 2.6. Notice how many of these are expensive houses. The theme rather continues, with some units coming in as well. Again, not much information about price. And in some cases, a bit of a guide, for example, a house here at $780,000 to $830,000, quite a range, or contact agent. And I would say at the moment, it looks to me as though it's the top end of the market where a lot of the property is available. Now, in terms of sold properties, around 24 properties sold in the last 8 weeks in Byron Bay. And here are a few examples. It's also worth again noting that its last asking price doesn't tell you anything about the settlement price. Some land was sold. There was a price range of somewhere between $857,000 and $942,000 for a townhouse, or my negotiations, and no information there, or there was an auction where it was sold prior with a price. But generally, there's very little information about what's actually happened with regard to closed deals. And you could become a little bit suspicious, as I am, as to why that is the case. Maybe prices are not actually as buoyant as many people have been claiming. Because I do get a lot of people saying, well, Byron Bay is a classic example of a booming market. Well, we'll see. What I can say is that actually price information is very hard to come by, and about three quarters of recent sales are not disclosed. Now, we can assemble some price trend information. This is the median price. In 2013, the average unit price was around $525,000. Today, it's around $760,000. But the trajectory over recent years is quite interesting insofar that there were strong rises in 2016, up 23%, small rises in 2014 and 15, falls in 2018, a small rise in 2019, and a small fall so far this year. And that converts into an average gain at 5.4% per annum, or after inflation, 3.5% per annum. And here are just a few examples of units from the Valuer General database. This is publicly available information that you can go and access at any time. And I would just highlight the fact that there's quite a range. Of course, you would expect that. And so the median gives some information. It doesn't give you all the information. This is the most definitive set of information available. There's only one catch. You can only get up to 100 transactions when you search. So you have to do multiple searches to cover a broader range of locations or property types. And here are the price trends for houses. Back in 2013, the average price was around 680,000. Today, it's about 1.42 million. And again, interesting rises, 36.8% in 2014, 21% in 2016, 30% in 2017, but then falls in 2018, down 5.1%, and down 10% in 2019, with a small bounce of 5.2% in 2020. And that gives an average gain between 2013 and 2020 of 11.1% per annum, or after inflation, 9.2%. And in fact, you could argue that this is as close to doubling in 7 years as anywhere I've seen. And here again is the Valuer General information for houses. And I would again highlight some significant variations, including the $88 million transaction. Now, of course, you need to strip that out if you're going to actually make anything sensible with the data. That's often some of the little foibles you have to deal with when you actually get into detail. Now, across this particular area, the current listings in Byron Bay are around 120, with around 45 added in the past month. But it's also worth noting that around 34 are more than 6 months old. So whilst there is some turnover, there's also a lot hanging around. In May 2019, the listings were higher at around 180, and around 71% of houses, the rest are units. For gross yields for houses, it's about 5.5%, and in fact, it's risen over the last year from 3.6%. This is quite unusual, because most of the gross yields across Australia have been falling in the last few months, but not in this particular postcode. The net yield is around 3.95% and is rising, and is definitely one of the better rental returns net across Australia. In terms of units, gross yields are around 5.5% as well, and that's a rise from 4.3% last year. The net yield is around, again, 3.95% and is rising. And combined housing units in Byron Bay are definitely performing better for an investment purpose than most other places across Australia at the moment. The rents for houses are rising, up 13% in the last quarter, with a typical rent of $970 a week. And the rents for units are rising, up around 20% in the past quarter, with a typical rent of $745 per week. And that, of course, is the reason why the yields are so powerful. Vacancy rates are way down at 0.6%, compared with 4% in mid-May 2019. And there are just 12 vacancies in the postcode at the moment, compared with around 90 in 2019. Now, turning to asking prices, houses, on average, are falling at the moment, down 11% over the last 3 months, with a typical house price of about $1.2 million. The average settlement is around 4% lower than the asking price. Units show a fall in asking price too, down 8% over the last 3 months, with a typical unit price of around $725,000, and the average settlement is 6% lower than asking. Now, those lower settlement prices explains to an extent why it is that many prices are not being disclosed. And according to our surveys, the intention to sell is rising slightly over the next few months. Now, we can look at the stress data for the postcode. There are around 6,000 households in the postcode, about 1,500 borrowing, around 3,500 renting. There are just under 3,000 properties for rent, and there are around 1,100 property investors. And overall financial stress is around 34%, which is relatively low compared to the rest of Australia. Within that, though, there is a significant spike in mortgage stress, with 58% of those borrowing in stress. Stress, of course, is defined in cash flow terms, and the default rate is looking to be around 2% at the moment, which is typical for Australia-wide at the moment. Rental stress is sitting at 28%, so it's not too bad, much lower than many other postcodes across the country. And property investor stress is also quite low. So the rationale for understanding the market here is to understand that the investment sector is doing quite well, and there has been significant demand for rental property. Perhaps people want to move out of big towns and cities into areas where there is lower risk from the virus, and maybe it's part of a life change, sea change as well. But the mortgage stress stuff would suggest that some people are going to have difficulty, because within this number, there are a number who are on interest and principal repayment holidays at the moment. And when those end, they will have to sell because their incomes are not adequate to service the mortgage. And there's just one other factor which I want to highlight, and that is that there is a very large number of small and medium enterprises in this particular area. And of course, they're very reliant on tourism. So they're hoping for local tourism because the international borders are shut. And there are a lot of other small and medium enterprise businesses working across a range of industries. Many of them are actually in some difficulty at the moment. So I wouldn't be surprised to see some of those having to sell their properties, because in some cases the SMEs have their businesses secured against their residential property. Which takes us to our price scenarios. So as normal, we look at the best case, the longer term crunch, and the multi-wave, our three main scenarios. And in the best case, over 3 years, prices for units could be down about 5%. In the worst case, if there's a multi-wave version of the virus, it comes back, the borders get shut again, international borders stay shut for a long time, then we could be looking at a fall of somewhere around 35%, which is quite significant. Now, the mid case, where I focus, is the highest probability at the moment. So there we're looking for cumulative falls of around 20% over 3 years, with 13% next year, a small fall the following year, and a slightly bigger fall in 2023. And if we translate that to unit trajectory, as I said, back in 2013, the average unit price was $525,000. This year, they're around $760,000. And if my trajectory is correct, the price will be slipping back to around $616,000 by 2023, which would put prices back to where they were in 2015-2016. Turning to houses, here, in the best case scenario, there is a small probability of a 3% fall over 3 years, although a potential small rise in 2022. If the virus continues to rage for longer, then the three-year fall would be about 21%. The mid-case, which is where my scenario is based from, would be a 6% fall next year, a small fall in 2022, and a slightly bigger one in 2023. And that translates to a trajectory from 680,000 in 2013 to 1.42 million in 2020, and a slide back to 1.255 million in 2023. Now, again, if you have a more positive view about the virus and the economy recovering, then the price movement could be higher rather than sliding backwards. But at the moment, given where we are with the international borders being shut down, so international tourism is definitely not on the agenda, and limited cross-state transit as well currently active, it means that in many cases the economic drivers for this particular area will remain weak. And yet I would say that there is strong underlying demand for houses in this particular postcode. And it's worth just thinking about that a bit harder, insofar that we can identify three different trends. The first trend is people moving out from the major centres, looking for a larger property to perhaps move to as they begin to move towards retirement, or indeed just a life-changing event. The second is that there is still some international interest in this particular postcode. It has, of course, quite a lot of kudos on the international stage, and there are people who actually aspire to own property here, and there are some very expensive properties across the particular postcode. One of the points I made earlier on is that some of the transactions are right at the top end of the market. Those transactions are pretty much inoculated from any financial crises or indeed anything to do with the virus. There are people who can still afford to buy at any time. The third point to make is that there is also some up-trading activity. And that up-trading activity is people looking to buy a larger place, either for occupation or, and this is happening quite a lot still, looking to demolish the house that's there and replace it with a portfolio of units or villas or something as a commercial entity. So if you are up trading in that area, you may well be competing with a builder who is also looking to make money from the plot. So larger plots of land are particularly sought after. And of course, there are some very prestigious top-end properties which will always command a bit of a premium because there are so few of them. But if you stand back and look at this whole story, what this says is that sure, there's a bit of activity here, particularly at the top end, and houses are not doing too badly. It's probably one of the best examples across Australia, but even so, not really stellar. And units, well, no, different story altogether. Very much a question of momentum is slow, the demand is there, but the supply is also rising, and that's one of the reasons why my modelling is suggesting that ahead things are looking a little less good. But I would say that this is perhaps one postcode where if you're a property investor and you still believe that property is where you want to sink funds over the medium to long term, then this postcode might be worth looking at. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.